When you do a podcast, you've got to have a song where someone sings the title, What Could Go Wrong? What could go wrong? The world is kind of scary when things don't go the right way. So listen to this podcast and it will probably be okay. Probably no guarantees.
Hello and welcome to What Could Go Wrong, the best slash worst thing that could ever happen to Warriors. I'm Jeff from Happy Valley. I'm joined by Chrissy, veteran, escapee, survivor, Murderville, Idaho.
Hello.
Also, here's Jeremiah, who clawed his way out of his hometown, The Coffin, California.
That's me.
No matter how bad you think things are, these two think they could get worse. So I thought we'd talk about some common chores these days that I think just about everyone eventually has to do, even if you're not the one in charge of maintaining the home.
What?
Like changing a light bulb. Because everyone likes light.
Luckily, the newer light bulbs like fluorescents and LEDs and halogens last forever, so once you put in that new style of bulb, you'll never have to change another one.
Except for never is actually shorter than never, and it's more frequent than I still like. Because light bulb changing is dangerous. One, if you've ever tried to take a light bulb out of the socket and it's broken, and then you're left with, like, you know, the exposed stuff on the inside, is just not a great thing. You got to turn off, you know, unplug power, turn things off so that you can use pliers to get it out without killing yourself with electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got glass everywhere.
You could unplug or turn off the electrical circuit.
Right, but, like, that's a lot of extra work, and also you have to find the circuit board, which you don't always necessarily know where the little circuity thing is, and sometimes it's in a really inconvenient spot, like a dark, scary garage.
Ooh.
Where the ghosts are, apparently.
You have a garage in the bunker?
Oh no, I haven't had a garage in years. This is, you know,
hypothetical. I see.
In the bunker, we don't particularly rely on the grid, as you would call it. So we're circuit-free since 93, I guess.
That's a pretty cool slogan.
Yeah. You should go with that one.
It's on my letterhead as of right now.
I mean, good news, those LED bulbs generally last for 100,000 hours, so if you use them for just 12 hours a day, they'll last for 22.83 years.
Wow.
Thanks for that math, sir. That's impressive.
Wanted you to feel secure in knowing how well that bulb was for you.
I feel pretty secure, especially because I think LEDs don't have the toxic mercury factor that fluorescent bulbs do. So, if a fluorescent bulb breaks, then it's kind of an issue, and there's poisons involved and stuff like that. But I think if LEDs break, then you're just, oh no, glass. And glass isn't as scary as mercury.
I mean, it can be.
It can be.
I mean, if it hits you in the right spot, glass can be an immediate death, where mercury is more of a slow, agonizing, poisoning of a death. So I guess maybe still not as scary.
Fixing drywall. It's an important chore.
Does your drywall often need fixed?
Well, I mean, you know, things get bumped into the wall or pets rub up against it and you gotta give it a little touch up.
Fight club happens.
Just put duct tape over that. That's how you fix it. All the things.
But you have to retexture your drywall.
Whoa, what?
Drywall's just smooth, so once you patch it, you gotta retexture it to make it have that nice bumpy look.
I did not know that was a thing you had to do.
It is.
So, I worked construction growing up, and there was the drywall phase was always the worst, because the dust would get everywhere, including, like, your lungs and your sinuses. And it could cause, got a sinus infection that I blame on all of the drywall dust, because everything that was coming out of my sinuses was, like, dust.
Plastery mud.
I mean, I probably should have been wearing a mask, but I was really bad at making sure I put those on. So, you know, just be careful because drywall is probably noxious because everything is probably causes cancer because everything does. And you're patching those holes. And you want to make sure it's worth it, I guess.
Make sure you use safety when you're patching holes.
Do you remember Hurricane Katrina when they had those drywalls in the trailers that was like leaking formaldehyde into the air?
No. Okay. But I'll take your word for it. Tell me more.
Long ago, in days of yore, there were these FEMA trailers that were given to folks who were trying to flee or escape or survive Hurricane Katrina and who's lost their houses and stuff. But whatever company they used to supply the trailers got their drywall from a unscrupulous Chinese manufacturer, and it became a big deal that all these poor people that had these trailers because they couldn't fix their houses were basically breathing formaldehyde and getting sick from this drywall. So if you need to patch your drywall, make sure you don't use the formaldehyde kind so that you don't die and stuff.
Always good advice. Another important thing after you fix your drywall is touching up the paint.
I mean, paint touch-ups can be a little tricky because if you didn't save paint from when you initially painted your walls, matching that color exactly is really difficult. And you can, like, take pictures or samples and go in and say, like, hey, I want it to match this color. But oftentimes, you know, it's just a little off so you can see where that patch was that you repainted. And it just is a little off-putting. And then people know, like, people know that you, you know, accidentally, like, fell while holding something big and heavy or sharp and like punched a hole through your wall. Or they know about Fight Club now because they can see where all of the fists have gone through the walls. And so the repainting phase is important because you need your Fight Club to be a secret. And also your tripping habits. I'm very clumsy. I don't like people to know.
This will be redacted.
Nah.
I'm sorry, everyone, for when the drugs come.
oh dear.
Also important to make sure you get all the little holidays so you don't have little specks of unpainted wall. Make sure you shine light on it from multiple angles so you get everything done.
Yeah,
that is something that sounds super clever that I would not have thought to do.
It's a helpful trick. Have a headlamp. It's useful. All right. Walking the dog or other mammal that you walk outside for exercise.
But what if you have a platypus?
Then you walk a platypus.
Because platypus is not a mammal, but sometimes you probably want to walk your platypus if you have one.
It looks a lot like a mammal.
Wait, I thought, oh no, I guess they're,
are they monotremes? Is it a mammal?
I mean, they produce milk, but they also lay eggs, so I think.
So they're a monster.
They're so cute. They're the cutest little monsters.
A monster, yeah. That's
all right. Well, if you're out walking your monster or mammals,
I mean, the problem with leaving your house is that you're probably going to run into somebody else, and in this case, that somebody else may also be walking their monster slash mammal. I mean, or goldfish, whatever they're walking, and. Things get in fights. Like, animals are very territorial, and like their territory kind of exists around you sometimes. So like if you're out walking your dog, wherever you are is considered their territory, and then that other person's out walking their dog and their dog is around their territory, and so they meet and they get angry at each other, or they meet and fall in love, which can also be very problematic. Because then your poor animal is melancholy. And nobody likes a melancholy animal. Slash monster slash goldfish.
Love-hate relationships are pretty tough.
They're some of the toughest. Because you got the love and then you got the hate. And then you've got the hate and then you've got the love. And they just...
Always button heads.
It's a lot of strong emotion altogether.
All right. Picking up poop, whether it's scooping a cat box or picking up dog poop or platypus poop or whatever kind of poop. It's not much fun.
Well, I guess there's all sorts of different parasites that you could acquire from feces.
What are you doing with these feces that you're getting parasites?
There's air that moves past them and they might be airborne parasites.
Also, if you're doing this activity barefoot because you have decided to spurn shoes, there's you know, the parasites through the feet, like hookworms.
Yeah. Ooh.
Although I've heard that hookworms can help cure allergies, so maybe not all bad, but then you have hookworms.
All right. Well, I think that's all the time we have for tonight. Beware of hookworms. Chrissy and Jeremiah, please give our audience your fond farewells.
Bye.
Listen, just because Chrissy says that hookworm will fix your allergies, I know some of you have really bad allergies. Please consult with a medical professional before you infect yourself with hookworm. Thank you.
Remember to do your chores, otherwise they'll stack up and become quite the mountain. Thanks for listening. Good night.